One evening, sitting in my room, a title for a lecture popped into my head, The ABC of Death. I then went rapidly through the alphabet, jotting down any words associated with the subject of death, which came immediately to mind for each letter. These form the basis of this lecture. So the talk tonight is called The ABC of Death. Let's get started. A is for all. All beings die, a truth that is surely dead simple. And yet, in the Mahabharata, when the sage Yudhisthira is asked, of all things in life, what is the most amazing? The sage replies that a man, seeing others die all around him, never thinks he will die. How many people, both young and old, honestly think that they are going to die? B is for birth. Whatever is born is destined to die. It doesn't matter if it is a solar system, a town, a man, a woman, a cup, a feeling or a thought. All that is born dies. All that comes into being passes away. C is for COVID. Sometimes death impinges on society in a big way. An earthquake, a hurricane, or vast floods can come at any time. These tend to happen far from us in the UK. They may arouse in us compassion, and we then may give generously to help those affected. However, when COVID appeared, it was different. It was not distant. It came right up to our front doors and into our homes. With illness and death statistics in the news on a daily basis, it became harder and harder for people to ignore death. For many, this has given rise to a great deal of stress, fear and anxiety. One thing that helps enormously in this regard is to have a spiritual practice. This leads us nicely to the next letter. D is for Dhamma. We are fortunate to be alive in this time in history when we have the teachings of the Buddha to show us the way to face death, to reduce suffering, and ultimately escape altogether, the way to Nibbana. This opportunity does not last forever and will pass. The span of our lives is not long. We can die at any time. While alive, it may be difficult to practice if we get seriously ill, weak, or other problems and difficulties arise. The Buddha reminded people constantly to practice. One of these practices is to reflect on death and the shortness of life. E is for elephant. Actually, it wasn't the word that popped into mind here. It was a phrase, the elephant in the room. Have you ever been among a group of people and started talking about death, only for a deathly hush to ensue? I have. And I remember what followed. After the hush, everybody began talking at breakneck speed about anything other than the subject of death. In our society, death is a topic largely ignored. It is seen as bad taste or morbid to bring it up. Better to be pushed away, out of sight as much as possible, so people think. What a relief it is to be amongst a group of people who talk openly about the subject of death, where talk of death is not unusual, where there is understanding that death and living are inextricably mixed. Whatever response there is to death will seep into life. If there is fear of death, there'll be fear in life too. Someone who ignores death will have to resist the aging process. On the other hand, one who accepts the inevitability of death can more easily relax into all stages of life. F is for fish. Why fish? Many times over the years, I have found dead goldfish in the Japanese gardens, floating on the surface. When I took them out of the pond, I saw that they were bloated, putrid, rotting flesh. Seeing a dead being can have an impact. It can remind us of the frailty of life and the transient nature of a body. We don't get to see dead human bodies lying around here in this day and age. Only if we make an effort can we go and see the dead body of someone close to us. And if we do, it will be manicured. Still, seeing any dead human body may make people reflect about life and death. We do not see decaying human bodies, but we may see other bodies. Dead badgers by the roadside. Squashed squirrels and rabbits in the road. A deer drowned in the canal. Dead fish and toads in a pond. If we stop and observe for a while, we see maggots and flies feasting on the flesh. Stand back, and we may see a bird of prey swoop down to feed on the flesh and the maggots. How natural death is. How natural it will be for us to die. G is for GOAT. Not the animal, but the acronym GOAT, greatest of all time. The wealthiest, the richest, the greatest sportsmen, the greatest religious leaders, all have bodies which grow old and in the end cease to function and die. So another acronym GOAT could be gut, organs, arteries, teeth. For we all have body parts that are doomed to fail. Some people are famous for their last words. Which ones are the greatest of all time? Perhaps those of Oscar Wilde, who on his deathbed looked at the wallpaper and said, "One of us has to go." H is for Helen. Who is Helen? Helen is just a name which popped into my head, and when I checked that it wasn't one of yours, I thought I would use it. It is so easy to talk about death in a theoretical, intellectually detached way. In reality, dead people have names. Come to think of it, I did know a Helen in the past, but she died long ago. A while back, I walked through a graveyard, looking at the names on the gravestones. On the new tombstones, the lettering was so distinct, I didn't need my specs to read it. On older ones, the names were less clear, and I did have to put on my glasses. Then there were those that were so worn that it was impossible to make out the names, even with my specs. All names disappear. Everybody will be forgotten. Even the goat only has so much time before her name vanishes forever. J is for Juggernaut. In Steven Spielberg's first film called Duel, A man in a car is chased along country roads in America by a mysterious juggernaut. It keeps right behind him, threatening again and again to destroy him. There seems to be no escape. Close behind all beings is a juggernaut called Death. Sometimes people look over their shoulder, get a glimpse of Death, and get scared out of their wits. In the movie, the driver escapes the juggernaut in the end. After all, it is a fantasy. In reality, there is no escaping the juggernaut called Death. Yet a meditator can change her relationship with Death, whereby instead of an enemy, Death becomes a friend. A friend who whispers in the meditator's ear, "Life is short. Be happy." This is what a Tibetan teacher called Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche had to say. If you continue to practice, when death finally comes, you will welcome it like an old friend, being aware of how dreamlike and impermanent the phenomenal world is. K is for kamma. Kamma means action, actions taken with a view of self. If we understand the basics of this truth and do our best to act in unselfish ways, we are doing our best to create favourable circumstances for the future, whether tomorrow, next week, next year, or next lifetime. When we act according to the law of kamma, dying will happen more easily. And at death, there is more likely to be the clarity to observe the whole process. The teachings of the Buddha give us the tools to help us act in the right manner, which leads us to the next letter. L. L is for loving kindness. This is a practice that improves life, makes dying easier, and leads to a favourable rebirth. As we develop a warm, loving feeling towards beings, life is lived with greater ease and contentment. Insight meditation is easier for the meditator who spends time practicing loving kindness, for it helps to keep the mind balanced and develops right concentration. A meditator who finished her training used to begin her meditations with metta practice, before turning to the insight work which set her free. M is for moment. Death doesn't just happen at the end of life, there is also the death of every moment. Death happens countless times a day. Seeing this in our experience, impermanence stands out more and more starkly. N is for new. When a year is coming to an end in autumn and winter, plants wither and die. Leaves fall out from trees and all the debris rots to feed the new growth and life that emerges in the spring. The old has to die to give way to the new. When it comes to human beings, it is no different. There has to be death for new generations to arise. O is for open. To be open is to be free of the cramped constriction imposed by self-concern. The stronger the self-importance, the smaller and darker is one's world. There is more experience of discontent and suffering. Openness lets the light in, and the world is then far more expansive and free of suffering. Openness requires truthfulness, to be honest with our others and with ourselves. We can be open to endless possibilities. To live life fully, one needs to be open to the wonders of life and to the mystery that is called death. P is for pets. It is not only the death of a human being that affects people. For some people, the death of a pet is a great loss. They love their dog, cat, guinea pig, lizard, or whatever. After death, their friend is sorely missed and they suffer. Out walking, I recently bumped into an acquaintance who was alone, no dog. Not long ago, it had died. He said that he still went for his walks, but there was an emptiness there. He looked sad for a moment, but knew that was a natural response and that it would pass. By the way, some people who find it difficult to practice loving kindness to other people discover that they can develop a warm, loving feeling towards their pets and other animals. After a while, they then are able to spread that love to humans as well. Q is for Queen. The band, that is, not Her Royal Highness. Though the Queen herself is getting on and one day will die, when she goes, it will be the death of an era. What popped into mind, though, for the letter Q was the band Queen, and with it a question as to how many of the original band are still alive. Freddie Mercury, of course, died a while back. The others, I discovered, have still life in them. When we hear of the famous of our era passing away in ever greater numbers, it can feel like death is closing in on us. When they start to be younger than us, it can be a bit of a shock. The older one gets, the more family and friends die around us. Not long ago, I was talking to someone who said that he keeps his mobile switched off much of the time, because he got tired of getting calls from friends telling him of other friends who had recently passed away. R is for right. Is there a right way to die? There are certainly some ways that are better than others. Which is best, to go out kicking and screaming, clinging on to life, or with acceptance and an interest in seeing what happens next? A meditator who has mundane right view has what she needs to help her with the transition from one life to the next. Right view states that actions have results, there are other realms of existence, there are wonderful results from giving, there is mother and father, there are teachers who can explain all right view and give instructions that will lead to understanding based in one's own experience. Take generosity. When this is practiced, we can see and feel the benefits for ourselves right now. We feel good when we give. It's nice to be near generous people. We notice that the generous people we know have great friends who will rally around to help them if there is a need, such as during their final illness. There can arise a feeling of gratitude to our parents who gave us life, love, and so much more. If we find ourselves with aging parents, we can aid them the best we can during the remaining years of life through to their last days. They may not be open or interested in spiritual teachings, and if they aren't, then it's best not to go there. However, we can help them by reminding them of the good they have done and of their acts of generosity which can keep them calm and ready for the end to come. The same sort of reflection will also help us when the time arrives. S is for self. Most people have a strong sense of self and never stop to question what this self actually is or where it is located. Spiritual teachers tell us that self is an illusion and that if we practice insight meditation, we can come to see this for ourselves. For where is this self? Is it in the body, in feelings, in perceptions, in habitual tendencies, or in consciousness? As a meditator observes the five aggregates and notes all to be transient, he begins to see the illusory nature of self. It isn't that there is a self that dies. The truth is that there was never a self in the first place. The sense of self is a grand illusion that gives rise to suffering. We remove the illusion through insight and suffering disappears. The deathless is realized. T is for tears. When a loved one dies, we may shed tears. What could be more natural? On the other hand, we might not cry. That too is natural. There is no right way to feel and react to someone's death. Will an enlightened person shed tears with the death of a loved one? What do you think? She might do, she might not. There is no set way to be. U is for undertaker. Professionals who deal with death day in, day out could become indifferent, and perhaps some do. My experience of undertakers at family funerals was that they were professional, caring, considerate and kind. I was very impressed with the compassion they showed. They said and did the right things for the occasion in a very warm way. Following a spiritual path rightly, compassion will develop and mature. When coming from a compassionate place, those actions taken will be right for that time, in this case, being with those who have lost loved ones. V is for Volvo. A long time ago, I knew a man who had an old, beaten-up Volvo. He loved it and spent a lot on keeping it going until in the end it became clear that its life was over. It died. He was upset. He suffered. Just as beings die, things die too. Just as people can be strongly attached to other beings, people can be attached to things. A couple are aging. Family members suggest that it might be time to move from their three-story house with all its stairs to somewhere more comfortable before they get too old, perhaps a bungalow. They resist the idea like mad, even though going up and down all those stairs with dodgy knees is getting harder and harder. They are attached to their house. With this training, we see the impermanence of things, and the more we do, the easier it becomes to let go. The more we let go of attachment, the more peace there is, and the more we are prepared for the great letting go of death. W is for weeks. I read a book recently called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, in which the author started with a question he asked some friends. A question I shall now ask you. Off the top of your head, without trying to calculate, how many weeks does the average person have to live? What number did you come up with? One of the author's friends said 50,000. The other gave him a six-figure number. The true number is about 4,000. That is all. The oldest person ever to live lived less than 7,000 years. 7,000 weeks. How many of those weeks have already gone? How many are left? We don't know. We don't know which week will be the last. I'm not trying to panic you. There is no need to rush out to cram in as much experience as possible, though you can try to if you wish. After all, is it the quantity that really matters, or the quality of life? One person was told that he had 6 months to live. When he had got used to the idea, which was made easier by the fact that he was a meditator, he said that he had never felt so alive as he did then. It was the quality of life that really counted. He had no regrets about his life. When the weeks were up, he passed away peacefully. Though the quantity of life diminishes as we get older, the quality of life doesn't have to do so. Following the way of the Buddha will ensure that we experience life more and more completely. Now a quick romp to the end of the alphabet as time is running out. X is for Xmas, Christmas. Death doesn't take into account religious days or holidays. Death never takes a day off. It can come calling at any time. Y is for you. You are going to die. Z is for Zoom. Time definitely moves faster and faster as one gets older. Where is this year going? It is zooming by. Did you notice that I missed out a letter from the alphabet? I did this deliberately. I thought I would keep it until last. This letter is also a word, one of the commonest used of all words. A word that is central to all of us. We all have used this word countless times in our life. I have used it 5 times in the last 2 minutes. The letter is I. I is for I. There is no point beating about the bush. Just like you, I am going to die. We may not know now what will be the cause of our death. We don't know where or when it will happen. What we do know is that the weeks are passing by and less remains of this life. If we reflect in this way, it may be that we consider what is most important to us. We can think how we have benefited from the study and practice of the teachings of the Buddha. Perhaps now we have a strong belief in life after death, and that our future lies in our hands, that we are heirs to our karma. We behave better, for we have seen the results of keeping precepts, being generous, and being of service to others. The practice of loving kindness generates within us a warm, loving feeling for beings, including, very importantly, ourselves. The observation of impermanence is breaking down wrong views and leading us towards the deathless. We are happier to be who we are and where we are more of the time. It makes it easier to grow old gracefully, to be open to death, to have a fascination for what might come next. Finally, another quote from Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche. Never forget how swiftly life will be over, like a flash of summer lightning or the wave of a hand. Even if death were to fall on you today, you must be ready to die without sadness and regret, without any residue of clinging for what is left behind. Remaining in recognition of the absolute view, you should leave this life like an eagle soaring up into the blue sky.